Good morning, Rabotai. We are going to spend a few days preparing for Pesach and the Seder. The creation of the world brought about many different creations with many different jobs. Every animal was created in its unique way, and every animal has its function and purpose in our world. There are animals that we use to eat, there are animals that we use for work, there are animals that we still don't know what to use them for. But animals provide for us all different benefits for the world that we live in. Hashem created many different trees with many different functions. There's, of course, food that we enjoy from them. We enjoy oxygen from them. We enjoy medicines from them. We enjoy wood from them. Many other things that the trees and the food that God created for us. And on, the creation is full of diversity and full of items and things that each one can be utilized for our benefit in our worldly existence and in our eternal existence. The world is Olam Hazeh is a prozdor to Olam Haba. This world was created with all the specific needs and opportunities that allow us a great existence in this world and a powerful existence for the world to come. One of these things that Hashem created that people are not aware of, everything I said till now, it's obvious, simple things. But one of the things that Hashem made also that is diverse, also needs to be taken into account and taken advantage of. But this one, you need to be a little more aware. Some things Hashem created are very obvious. And then some things that He created, you need a little more chokhmah to take advantage of them. This item, you need a little more wisdom. Hashem created times. He created zimanim. What does that mean, He created Zemanim? It means that even though time seems to just be passing by, and all time of our existence is equal, it's just what we do in that time that makes a difference, but the time itself is the same. That's the way it would seem to an average person, that time just goes, and what you do during that time is what makes the difference of that moment. If you're celebrating in that moment, it's a happy time. If you're crying at that moment, it's a time of crying. But time in itself doesn't change. Time in itself just continues. That is the way most people understand time. But when Hashem created the world, He created that not all time is equal. Time in itself has certain values that one time may have and another time won't have it. Certain opportunities that come with certain moments which are not as easily available in other moments. The greatest example of that we find in the creation right away is Hashem sanctified the seventh day by Kadesh Oto. What does that mean? He made the seventh day a special day, which means that on the day of Shabbat, it's not because it's the seventh day after 6 days. The day of Shabbat itself has certain capabilities that if we would know how to utilize the day of Shabbat, we would be able to get things from the Shabbat that we wouldn't be otherwise able to get. What I mean to say is, let's say we lost count of the calendar and we don't know when is Shabbat, what was Shabbat, and we decide to make a random day Shabbat. We decide to go 6 days, and the seventh day, whatever it might be, we're going to celebrate it as the day of Shabbat. We're going to light the candles, and we're going to have seudot, and we're going to treat it with all the stringencies of Shabbat. It doesn't work. Actually, in halakha, there is such a thing that somebody got lost in the desert, and he lost track of time. So he doesn't know when Shabbat is. So halakha says, count 6 days and do the seventh day of Shabbat. That's not a real thing though. That's not meaning, it doesn't mean the 7 days are real Shabbat. It just means not to forget that there is Shabbat. So you do a 7 day, you make a run of 7 day. But the real Shabbat cannot be replaced. We can't decide now, let's make Shabbat on Sundays because it's more convenient to this country. Imagine a country where everyone's working on Shabbat and Sunday everyone is off. So the rabbinical council gets together and decides, you know something? Let's make life easy for everybody. We want to have Shabbat and we want to work and make money. So from now on, we'll just switch the days. We'll make Shabbat on Sundays. We'll do 6 days starting from Monday. Friday will be Shabbat. And Sunday... Shabbat will be Friday, and Sunday will be the Shabbat. Beautiful idea. They could have done this years ago, and people would have not been mehalal Shabbat. They would work on Friday, which we call Shabbat, and celebrate Sunday. Everything would be good. But it doesn't work like that. Why not? Why don't you just do 6, 7, 6, 7? Answer is, because Hashem sanctified the seventh day. The seventh day is a special day. It's not just randomly chosen. Hashem made the time of Shabbat unique. What a person can accomplish on Shabbat, he cannot accomplish on any other day. Now you have to know what the codes are. You can't on your own decide what you're going to do on Shabbat to use it. You have to know what the benefits of Shabbat are so that you could take advantage of it. Anybody listening to this class that doesn't know what Shabbat is might think that we've lost our mind to think that the time of Shabbat feels like a different time of the week. But in truth, we know that those who keep Shabbat understand that Shabbat is different. It just feels different. The regular food you eat feels different. It tastes different. The sleep feels different. The walking and the conversations feel different. The tefillah is different. Everything's different. The learning of Torah is different. Shabbat is different. You could do the same thing on Sunday and on Shabbat. It's not the same. Different feeling. And there are certain things that you could accomplish on Shabbat that you can't accomplish during the week. What is unique about Shabbat? Hashem created a special zman, a special time called Shabbat. If you know how to utilize it, if you take advantage of it, you will take so much wealth from this Shabbat that's not available during the week. So how often do we need this day to fill up? So obviously we need it every 7 day. If we needed every 2 weeks, we would have Shabbat every 2 weeks. we need every 7 day to go up to the Shabbat gas station and fill up with our physical and spiritual needs that we will not be able to achieve on any other day. That is why if you look in the Amidah, you'll find on Shabbat, Amidah talks about Shabbat in ways that most people would not understand how that made it to the Shabbat. It talks about the Shabbat being Menuhat Ahava, that Shabbat is a rest that brings love. Undava, it's a rest that makes people unselfish. Who would have ever thought that Shabbat is capable of turning people who have hatred to be full of ahava? Who could have imagined that it could turn a selfish person to a giver? Menuhat emet, it turns a person who's full of sheker, who lives a life full of lies, and turns him to a person of emet. Emunah turns a person who's lacking emunah to a person who has faith and strong. Menuhat shalom, somehow the rest of Shabbat could take a person who's full of conflict and make him an ish shalom. Hashket vabeta. Who would have imagined that Shabbat is capable of bringing to a person all these tremendous accomplishments? Amazing. That's what Shabbat is. Shabbat is unique. How often do we need this? Once a week. Every 7 day, we need to fill up again. So we build our Ahava, Nedava, Emet, Emuna, Shalom, Ashket, Beta. This was something created already from the 6 days of creation. Hashem created Shabbat on the seventh day. So too, we have during the year, Hashem created Zemanim. He created a time that's unique for certain things to be accomplished during that time. Some of them come once a month. Some of them come once a year. Some of them are 7 days a year. And every single Zman, if you take advantage of it, let's say you have a 7 day holiday like Pesach. We celebrate 8 days. An 8 day holiday like Pesach, you have to know that you're able to fill up something on these 8 days of Pesach that will need to last you till the next year. So it's a major undertaking. And you need to focus on what is the Zman. What do we have on Shabbat, on Pesach, that we're going to be able to grab and take with us for the entire year until we get low again? Just like a week without Shabbat, it doesn't have the beracha and the strength that it could have. A year without Pesach is lacking. So therefore, the Zman of Pesach was created from the 7 days of creation. Already Hashem made a Zman, a time called Pesach. This time of Pesach is unique. It's able to take a slave and make him a free man. Zeman Herutenu. What's the Zman of Pesach? The overwhelming accomplishment that has many details in it. But if you want to make one banner, what is the Zman of Pesach? It's the Zman of freedom. Freedom has many, many branches to it. But ultimately, that is the great accomplishment of Pesach. To become a free person. During this man of Pesach, a person is much more capable of reaching freedom than they would be during the year. People probably think that the reason we celebrate this time of freedom is because Am Yisrael went out of Egypt at this time on the 15th of Nisan. Since they went from slavery to freedom, that is why we also have a time of freedom. But that's not accurate. What's the real explanation is that the reason why the Jewish people were able to leave Egypt in this day, the 15th of Nisan, from slavery to freedom, is because the day of Pesach was already infused with this capability of freedom. So therefore, that's why that day they left. Hashem could have chosen any day. But this was a day that has in it the power of freedom. That's why we find a midrash. The midrash talks about Avraham Avinu eating matzot on Pesach, which sounds completely ridiculous. Even though Hazal tell us that Avraham Avinu kept all the mitzvot, which just doesn't bother me, that he kept all the mitzvot, he knew what he had to do, Hashem told him, he learned, whatever it is, no problem. That he kept all the mitzvot, he kept Shabbat, he kept Kashrut. Okay, makes sense. But how can he keep Pesach? If Pesach never happened, what would he say? Min Mitzrayim ge'altanu, what would he say? You took us out of Egypt. It didn't happen yet. How would he be able to celebrate Pesach if Pesach never happened? What's he eating matzah and Pesach? When the matzah and all the story that brought the matzah never took place. So this is hard to understand. What is Abraham doing when he's eating matzot on Pesach? What Pesach? Didn't happen yet. But the way we understand now, it's no problem. Because the Zman of Pesach, which means the Zman of freedom, was already set, the 15th of Nisan from the creation was already set as a day of freedom. Zeman Heret. Maybe there was no Mitzrayim yet. There was no Egypt yet. But the freedom infused in that day was already created. And matzah is the bread of freedom. So therefore, on Pesach, Abraham was eating. I don't know if he was talking about Paro. And I don't know if he was saying Arami Oved Avi. I assume he wasn't. But he was eating the matzah, the bread of freedom, on the day of freedom. Because on that day, Abraham was able to achieve a freedom that he couldn't do the same on a different day. So the day of freedom preceded Yetziat Mitzrayim. It's already part of the creation. And so too with many historical things that we celebrate. For example, we have Kippur is on the 10th of the month of Tishri. What happened on the 10th month? So we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, he begged for forgiveness on behalf of the Jewish people for the sin of the golden calf. And he spent many days pleading with the Creator that this terrible sin, unimaginable sin, and the damage that it caused Just 40 days after Hashem gave him the Torah in Har Sinai, they went ahead and they made a golden calf. It was supposed to be the end, God forbid, of the Jewish people. That's what Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu. We're done. This nation, we are done. We're not going forward. We're going to start a new nation. We're going to call them B'nai Moshe. No more B'nai Yisrael. Done. You can't go on like this. And we can understand it. Imagine a person gets married and the first day is cheating. It's over. The marriage is over. Hashem said, He married you 40 days ago. We spent time together. We spent a whole year of miracles. And you're making a golden calf? It's over. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, we're done. Moshe Rabbeinu is pleading. What could he do to bring back this marriage? And it went for days and days and days. Until finally, after many, many days, 40 days again, from the 17th of Tammuz, that was when Moshe Rabbeinu came down and broke the Luchot. The 17th of Tammuz, all the way till Yom Kippur. The 10th of Tishri, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Salachti kidvarecha. He told Moshe Rabbeinu, I forgive. I will continue the marriage. So why do we have Yom Kippur on the 10th of Tishri? So people will say, well, that's the day that Moshe Rabbeinu and Am Yisrael were forgiven for the golden calf. On that day, Hashem told them, said, I think about it. But again, that's not accurate. Kippur is not on the 10th because that was the day Hashem forgave the Jewish people. Hashem forgave the Jewish people on the 10th because that's a day that forgiveness is so much more possible than any other day. Like we see amongst us, those who actually keep the days of Kippur know that people on Kippur can actually make shalom much easier than they would any other day. The day of Kippur has something in the air. What's the air of Kippur? Forgiveness. Between Hashem and us. Between us and each other. So why is it that Hashem forgave him on the 10th? Because the 10th already, from the creation of time, was given this power. So therefore, every holiday person needs to know what's in the air and what they need to fill up to take with them for the ride of the year. When it comes to Pesach, like we said, freedom is in the air. And freedom is so necessary in our time. We might look at Pesach as the time to commemorate our people leaving Mitzrayim, which of course is what happened. But we would be belittling the holiday tremendously if all we did is use it as a time to reflect and to remember what happened to our people 3,300 years ago. That would be a terrible mistake. It'd be wasting. It's like a guy, someone gave him $1 billion of cash, and he decided that he's going to use the money to write on it all the different ideas and thoughts he has constantly. They become his notepad. He takes out $1,000 bill, writes the notes for the class. Next day, he told the guy, why are you wasting it? You're wasting all the money I gave you. I'm not wasting it. I'm writing my notes on it. Don't write your notes on $1,000 bills. That's called wasting it. Write your notes on a different paper. This is worth more than your notes to be written on. A person who takes Pesach and all they do is use it to commemorate what once happened, they're taking something so precious and they're wasting it. That's why it says in the Haggadah, Hayav Adam l'ot et atzmo ke'ilu hu yatza mimitzvah. A person has to live Pesach, and it has to be for him. We're not just talking about them. The freedom available on Pesach is for every person. There's something to take from Pesach. It's not just a commemoration. It's alive. Pesach is alive today. The Zman of Pesach is living within every person. Fortunate is the person who knows how to utilize it. Is there a time in history where freedom is very difficult to find by the average person? The slavery in today's world is on an extreme level. Maybe a person doesn't have chains around his arms, but how many people have chains around their mind? How many people have chains around their heart? How many people are struggling to find happiness in life? What is that called? It's called your slave. Why am I a slave? I could be happy if I want. So why are you unhappy? Because you don't know how to do it. You are free to be happy, but you don't know how to be happy. So you're a slave. You have certain feelings and certain fears. Well, I'm a free person. I can fear whatever I want, or if I don't want. It's true, you could, but you don't know how. You're stuck. You need help. You're a slave to your addictions. Addictions are not only drugs and alcohol and gambling. You're addicted to your mindset. You're addicted to your lifestyle. Even though your lifestyle is producing no good for you, it's producing pain in this world, frustration, and for sure, eternity. But you're stuck because you're a slave. You wake up today and you say, well, I am today going to be what I was yesterday, which happened to be what I was the day before, and happened to be what I've been for the last 25, 40 years of my life. I'm basically stuck. I'm a slave to my past. I'm a slave to my habits. I'm a slave to my mindset. I'm a slave to anger. Yes, I could be calm. You could be calm, but you're not. You have a lot of anger inside of you. You're a slave. We're slaves to jealousy. What kind of free man is free when he is in pain, when he sees other people have something they don't have? That's called freedom. So we have all kinds of addictions from every area of our lives. A free man is a guy who could stand up and say, I am capable of living a life of simcha all day, every day. Who doesn't want to live a life of simcha every day, all day? We all do. So here's the guy, why don't you do it? You're a free man. So I can't. Well, who's stopping you? Why can't you be a completely happy person all day, every day? Who's stopping you? Who put chains around you? Answer is, you're a slave because you don't know how to do it. So you don't have iron chains on you, but you have other chains on you that don't allow you to be the person that you need to be. So many areas of life, and perhaps no time in history, people are in chains like today. There used to be days of slavery where they used to have slaves. Today it's not so popular to own people as slaves. So slavery has been abolished. Well, that's what people think. There hasn't been slavery in the history of the world, I don't believe, like there is today. I don't believe in the history of the world there has been as much slavery as there is in our time. Today, people have given up their freedom of thinking. When they go to buy something, they're already a slave to what they need to buy. Whether it's a soft drink, or it's a beer, or it's a cereal, or it's a dress, or it's a suit, or it's shoes, or it's anything. When a person today goes to buy, he's already predetermined in his mind what he's going to pick up. When he goes into a store, he's not really choosing. The choice has already been completely brainwashed in his mind that he needs to buy the shirt with that brand on it. He needs to have that cereal with the guy jumping up and down. That's the one he needs. Our minds in today's world have been programmed that our decisions in what we look to as enjoyable or as something that is accomplished, it's already been fed to us by other people. By the time the kid's growing up, he's just 1 year old. Already he's brainwashed. He's already being told what's considered a happy life. He's told how to vacation. He's told how to enjoy life. He's told what's considered good and bad for him. He's not thinking for himself. By the time he's 7, 8 years old, he's already programmed. He's a slave to the society around him. People could be slaves to their upbringing. People could be slaves to Hollywood. People automatically have their heroes that they're stuck to, that they're learning from. What we should be doing in our free time, we learn from them. What should a person do when they're celebrating? We learn from them. How do you celebrate? Well, let's see how Hollywood celebrates. Well, how do we vacation? How do we relax? Well, let's see what they do when they relax. And on, there's no end to this. There is no end to the slavery that exists in today's world. People don't think too much for themselves. Even when they think they're thinking, they're not really thinking. The biggest proof, I mentioned the other day, I was walking, I saw this car, a very old Mercedes. So I looked at it, it's from 20 years ago. I'm looking at it like, what kind of ugly design is that? It doesn't look right. The one who designed it, like, what were they thinking? And then I'm continuing to walk and I'm thinking to myself, 1 second, 20 years ago, when I saw that car, I was going crazy. What a car! So how could it be the same eyes that were wowed by the car 20 years ago? Today, I look at it and I say, I don't know, something's wrong. I mentioned the other day, you look at old videos, you'll see people 30 years ago with their hairdo. You ever see the hairdo 30 years ago? Jeez. You say to yourself, what were these people thinking? What are they thinking? Look at their hair. What are they out of their mind? The men had a certain style. The woman had a certain style. You cannot believe your eyes. Were they like ignorant of beauty? Could anyone actually think that's beautiful? Well, guess what? It was you in the video. That was you. And you actually thought 30 years ago that that was beautiful. And today, you don't think it's beautiful. What happened? Answer is, you don't think for yourself. If they tell you this is beautiful, if they convince you enough time on a picture that this is beautiful, you actually think it's beautiful. You could swear up and down that it's beautiful, that you love it. No, I love it. What do you mean? I love it. No one told me to love it. I love it. It's not true. Even when you think you love it, it's because someone has smashed it down your throat and down your brain that you need to love it. It's amazing. The way people used to dress, you say, what? What were they thinking? What were they wearing? They think they're the sharpest person since Adam HaRishon. And that person could be the same one watching and say, I can't believe how ugly that is. What happened? Even beauty, we don't judge from our own brain. Even beauty, we have been brainwashed. It's not normal. We're living in an age of slavery like no other age. We can't even think for ourselves if something is beautiful. Today, ask a group of people a question, an interesting question about their opinion. You will see most of them, they turn around looking at everybody else. Ask them, what do you guys think about the... They go like this. They're looking. They want to see what everybody else is thinking. We've lost the capability of seeing things for ourselves, of seeing even beauty through our own eyes. Yes, it's okay to see beauty different than the guy next to you, but the same guy himself, how can it be? This question always bothered me. I shared it once with you before, but I think it's a very telling issue. You know, today we have many car makers. You have car makers, cars that are made in Europe, cars that are made in Japan, cars that are made all over the world. They are the expensive cars. They call them the luxury cars. And then they are the Hazid case cars, the regular people car. I mean, they both drive, they both have four wheels, and they both get you to where you need to go. But so now you have to know that the people who make simple cars are very wealthy people, and they make a lot of money. Just because their cars are worth half the price, it doesn't mean that they're not making money. They're very wealthy, and they sell more of their cars than the luxury cars. So I always wondered, always bothered me for many years. I don't know why I thought about this, but this will bother me. I didn't understand, you know, you see a luxury car, it's beautiful, the design, it's beautiful. Forget the extras. Forget like all the extra things that cost a lot of money. You know, the nice wood, the mahogany, the speaker system. I'm not talking about that. But just like the car design, the body of the car looks really nice. But then all these other cars, like, I always wonder, like, why couldn't they make a nice design? Like, what's the problem? I mean, they have designers. They don't just make a car. They have people. They pay them a lot of money. They have the money. And they certainly have people that go and design the car. What do they tell them? Make it ugly? So listen, since we're a cheap car, so therefore, please don't make it too nice like the luxury cars. You know, those cars, they have a nice design. We can't really be like them. Please make it like as ugly as you can, as simple as you can. Is that really what happens? Like, what are they thinking? Why? I understand certain beautiful, expensive things you can't put in those cars. I got that. But why can't the body of the car look nice? Why is it that only the luxury cars know how to make a nice looking car? That's a question I always had. And then one day I realized that what people do when they see a nice car, before they decide if it's nice or not, they first look at the logo. It's an amazing thing. They look at the brand. When they see a nice car and they see a brand, they say, that's not so nice. But if they see what a brand is, wow, what a car. It's an amazing thing that was so brainwashed. It's not that the guy made an ugly car. It's that you think it's ugly. Because to you, that's the way you've been sold. That's not a really nice car. So automatically your mind doesn't see the beauty in that car. And the other one, it could be the ugliest car. It could look like a bug. ugly as can be. And said, oh, wow. Work. Why? Because of the brand name. And the proof is the same car 20 years later, the same eyes, the same person will say, it's not so nice. This is the world we live in. I'm only talking about cars as an example, obviously. But this applies to every area of life. We are a country of slaves. Much bigger than slaves used to be. While we may have in our minds the idea that we're free, but in reality we are controlled in so many ways. Take a person who's addicted to their phone. Take a person who's addicted to their social life. Take a person who's addicted. There's no end. There are people that are addicted to vacations. They gotta go away every other week. They're just addicted. It's not normal. Why do they feel the need to do that? What's wrong with enjoying life where you are? Life is very enjoyable. Why do you have to always go away? Because there's an addiction. The person is a slave. They don't even know how to be happy where they are. And on and on and on. So no, I don't know if there's a generation in our history that has needed the days of Pesach and the ingredients of Pesach more than our generation. Could be that if our generation was the model, they would make Pesach 3 times a year. Because once for the year is not enough. But the Creator knows best. So I guess He thinks that we can take from one Pesach and we could ride for the year to become a truly free person, a free thinker, a person free to be happy, a person free to make changes that make sense, a person who's free from anything else but his ability to be able to make a great life for himself in the way that he wants, in the way that he desires, not to be held up by all the different things that hold people up in life, whether it's mental, whether it's emotional, whether it's social, whether it's spiritual. There are many, many, many things today that we could look at and say, we live in a nation, we live in a time, we live in a generation of slavery. And we need Pesach more than anybody else. So it is a great value for us to get together and realize this is the Zman. You want to be a free person? You want to be able to be happy? The freedom to be happy. The freedom to be calm. The freedom to do what you want to do. You want to be able to be free from other people's opinions. You want to be able to be free from other people's honor. You want to be able to free yourself from your addictions, whatever they might be. This is the Zman. This is the time. It's called Pesach. Of course, Pesach can come and go, and a person doesn't utilize it, they will not see a difference. They will not even know they missed something. But if truly a person takes advantage of the Pesach and takes advantage of the night of the Seder, yeah, Baruch Hashem, 2 nights in the Seder. You have in this generation, in the Galut, 2 nights. It's not enough to have 1 night. We got to make 2 nights. We got to go through it again. Because of the amount of slavery that we are connected to, we have double the nights. In Eretz Yisrael, they only make 1 night of the Seder. We make 2. Boy, do we need it. So, Be'ezrat Hashem, the next few days, we're going to try to tap in what are the things that can be acquired in the time of Pesach and how to do it. Have a wonderful day.